Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz interview series with Toronto Jazz bassist, composer, and bandleader Robert Lee. We caught up with him about his life and music, the COVID world, and his brand new 2022 CD. This is his sophomore album, and he continues to refine his artistic identity. The album contains all the original compositions inspired by Korean folk stories, spanning various fantasy and romantic narratives. His musical interest began with the violin before he switched to the bass. He's got a great story. Enjoy.
Thanks for taking a minute out. Thanks for reaching out to the show.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thank you so much for reaching out to me. I really appreciate it.
You bet. So, before we get into Cha Ran, your newest album, I want to know, you know, we've been living through COVID. It's been a particularly rough time for entertainers and musicians on the planet. How did you survive this last 2 years? How did, and with that being said, how relieving is it to have new material out now?
Wow. It was a lot of stuff happened the past 2 years. So, yeah, once COVID hit, like, every musician, like, all the gigs went out. I was supposed to have an album release show for my first album, and that got canceled. And so, yeah, it was a really tough time. And actually, during this time, it was maybe a crazy idea at the time, but I went to pursue my master's at Berklee College of Music in Valencia. It was a one-year master's in Spain. And I used that time to kind of, like, this time, I guess, during COVID to be like, you know what? I wanted to kind of focus more on developing my own musicality, develop my composition techniques, and kind of explore more of my kind of like my artistic identity. I'm so glad I did that because out of this kind of came out the premise for Charan, which is the album that's coming out on August 26th. It became kind of like a point where I had the time, I guess, to investigate further kind of my Korean heritage. So I was born in Canada, but my heritage is Korean. And I, growing up as a Canadian, it was I didn't really have that much connection with, you know, Korean culture or things like that. So I used this kind of time to kind of explore that a little bit more deeply. And through that, I got into learning more about these Korean folk stories and folk tales. And they became really inspiring, especially with these, like, fantasy and romantic narratives. And I've always been drawn to kind of those sort of themes, you know, being a fan of, you know, Studio Ghibli and, you know, those just beautiful animations with amazing musical scores and, like, stories. And so I wanted to kind of draw on all these different areas and put them into this specific project. And so now that, you know, COVID's kind of, or things are opened up again and, you know, their gigs and performances, I found this was a really great time to kind of like show to the world this kind of like COVID project that is finally being released.
So, you know, the one thing about COVID is that really kind of, because of the nature of being at home and with ourselves more, there was a lot of self-reflection. So do you believe it was because of this that you looked deeper into your Korean roots to get this album put together?
I think absolutely, you know, like it kind of, in a crazy way, everything kind of stopped for a sec, you know, for a period of time where, you know, it wasn't necessarily the hustle and bustle of, you know, going out to do gigs or, you know, doing, pursuing jobs or juggling all these projects. And then when all that stopped, it kind of gave the space for, at least for me, to be like, hey, like, let's take a step back from, like, kind of like all my musical stuff and artistic things, and like, and just kind of like lay it all on the table and see, like, okay, where am I at? Where do I want to go? And what would be a really genuine and honest path that I could take that can, you know, kind of develop my artistic like pursuits and what music I wanted to create. So I think absolutely that Charan, this project, was a result of that reflection.
Have you played any live gigs lately?
I've played a couple live gigs in Toronto. I actually just came back from Spain about a month ago, so I've had a couple gigs so far, which has been fantastic. When I was in Spain, luckily things were relatively opened up since last summer. So when I was there, I was doing a lot of gigs out there, which was fantastic. But a few gigs for my own music and my own projects, so which is great. But I'm really looking forward to kind of, you know, kicking this new project up into high gear in Toronto and seeing where that kind of goes.
What do the crowds feel like now? I mean, there has to be a deeper level of appreciation prior to 2020 with, you know, just seeing this happen again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I definitely know, ever since being back, there's definitely something very palatable in the sense of kind of the vibe of these places, they definitely feel a little bit more busier. Maybe perhaps part of that's just the summer, but I think a lot of it has to do with kind of the post-pandemic kind of attitude and mindset that, you know, people are really, were so itching to kind of be out again and to enjoy life and enjoy music and art and more so. But I think it's one of those things when it's kind of taken away, you don't know how much you miss it. So I think now that it's back, people are like, oh my gosh, yes, we could go to live shows. We could play live shows. We can, you know, hang with our friends and experience cool things in the scene. And I think, yeah, I think it's been really great.
So talk to me a little bit about growing up, your childhood, and why jazz became the path you chose.
Yeah, so growing up, I started on the violin when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and admittedly, I actually hated it. I didn't want to. It was really hard, I guess, for like a little person, like kid, like me, and I was not really into music. But then, kind of when I hit high school, I discovered that I wanted to do. Like, I kind of gone to more, like, rock bands and, like, funk and, like, eventually metal. And so I switched to the electric bass because it was really resonating with me, that the sort of, like, low bottom end sounding of the instrument. And I was like, this is really cool. And especially listening to musicians like Flea or Victor Wooten and stuff. I was like, wow, this is really cool. So I was both kind of more into that. And then when near the end of high school, I kind of felt that, oh, I kind of really want to do music, and I think it's like as a form of education, and jazz was kind of the gateway into kind of like music academics and stuff, and I really had no jazz experience at that point, so in a lot of ways I was gone to jazz really late, but I just tried working really hard, like got some great teachers, and yeah, and then kind of dove right in. I got into a University of Guelph for music, and then did my 4 years there, and then I switched to jazz performance, where then I actually switched to upright bass and became really into, you know, the jazz repertoire and that kind of world, and I fell in love with it, I think, because the idea of it's such a, one, I think the creative outlet of improvisation is relieving for me. That's just a way to really express myself and to, on the spot, kind of create things of whatever context you're in, whether it's, you know, free jazz or playing jazz standards or playing my own music. It's these kind of frameworks of doctrine for everyone, like a group of people or individuals to participate in this kind of like creative theater. And so that's what really definitely resonated with me. And also as became such a malleable genre in terms of where I feel like I can write and take all these different influences and genres that I listened to growing up or that I listen to nowadays and kind of combine them in kind of the jazz world with like elements of improvisation, but they're kind of like throw composed, and I take inspiration for like singer-songwriters and folk music. Yeah, so jazz has been really good to me. Let's say that way.
What was the first live jazz show that you saw that really made you think, wow, I love this, I want to do this?
Oh my goodness, so let me think. The first live jazz show. One I think that really resonated with me, it was kind of like, oh, so a few years into jazz, I was trying to get my like hands around just kind of the fundamentals of jazz, and I remember seeing it was Wayne Shorter came to Toronto with his quartet. It was for his, I think, 80th birthday tour. John Patitucci, I think it was Danilo Perez. I could be wrong. I hope I'm not wrong. And Brian Blade. And I remember seeing that concert and just being kind of really blown away in a way that I hadn't really felt listening to the music at quite as powerful as that time, especially when in a live setting, just seeing that the intensity of that music and where sonically we kind of explored and reached was something that I want to kind of, like, it was like, I want to do that. I want to try and get that resonance, capture that resonance in my music or in my play, what they did on that stage.
This is your sophomore album, and I'm curious, do you go into, this being your second album, do you go into these projects thinking this is going to be an evolution, a snapshot in time? What's your philosophy on going into new albums?
No, I always think, like, every time I write new music, I think subconsciously and consciously, or it kind of is always an evolution or development of my kind of artistic kind of path. And I think it's a snapshot of the time, but it's also kind of like a good indication of like, oh, this is kind of getting closer and closer to where I want to go, what my music kind of wants to sound like. So it's kind of, always kind of constantly ironing out, you know, the wrinkles that I feel, that I personally feel in, like, whether it's my own playing or the way I write compositions, the types of feelings I want to kind of create. I think this going to this project, it became a good snapshot of, like, this is a time in my life where I really took the effort to kind of explore myself in my own personal self, not just musically, but also as, like, in my life, and to reflect on these aspects of my life that are part of me, that and to try and put them in and express them in some sort of artistic way.
You get to wake up every day knowing that you're a musician, you get to create something. What's the greatest part of this process of being a musician for you?
Oh my God. I think undoubtedly, if I get to just play music, but I think, and just when I get up every day, it's like I get to touch my instrument, I get to create something. Whether even it's for, like, you know, depending on our lives, if it's for 10 minutes, I could just improvise something or just learn something, discover something new. And I have the ability to kind of do that. It's such a blessing and a gift that I have this outlet that I can use for my life, that where I can freely and just freely express myself. And the fact that, you know, it's also such a communal art form where I get to play with friends is something that's incredible. The fact that I could just play music with these people I call my friends, who are great musicians, we get to create something together, is something that's really wonderful. I'd say I don't take it for granted every day. It is really a privilege to do this sort of IPRO.
So everyone has a perception of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. Who do you think you are?
I'm not a... It's interesting. I just trying to, you know, go through life and just try to be, you know what, how can I be, take every day and just be, find the positives in it. Just live all life as honestly and as positively as possible. Life is, you know, it's really hard. There's a lot of struggles, there's a lot of things going on. But if we can take the attitude of just trying to be, like, to be a positive individual, and to just see that there's still a lot of good and a lot of great things and beautiful things in life, then I think, you know, it's not a bad start. And that's what I just try to do every day. Just try to do the little things that, you know, make people and hopefully other people around me happy.
Beautiful, Robert. Hey, thank you for taking some time out for Neon Jazz today. I appreciate it. Good luck with the album and the return to the live stage.
Great. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Korea, Toronto, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Robert for his time, music, and cool. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for all things Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.